Would you please join me for our reading of Scripture? Today's reading comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 31, verses 10 to 13 and 29 to 31. Please follow along in your own Bible or with the scriptures on the screen. Again, that is Proverbs, chapter 31, verses 10 to 13 and 29 to 31. Hear the word of the Lord. A wife of noble character who can find. She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
What is the standard of beauty for women? Is it young, slim, and sexy? I talk with many women, and they share that from a very young age, they were raised to do whatever it takes to live up to the unrealistic beauty standards put upon them by society. Social media, movies, TV, and magazines are in your face about such barely achievable standards. I had a mom tell me that she went clothes shopping for her teenage daughter, and many of the popular name brand outfits at the stores were either very low cut, had a midriff, or the pants were super short. When she asked if there were alternatives that were more modest, the sales clerk said, "Ma'am, that's the way they come." I mean, even social media has people making comments about each other's appearances with shaming of how someone looks. Gyms are filled with people trying to lose weight so that they can have the physique that equates to cultural standard of beauty. With pornography accessible at any time right at your fingertips, men have been trained since young to compare a woman's beauty to those women that they see in movies and on websites. And so wives and girlfriends are losing the attention of their partner to these other women whom they can't compete with. Many men criticize women for not looking a certain way, and women will criticize each other for not looking a certain way, which is also why many women will do whatever it takes to attain these beauty standards set by culture in order to be loved and accepted. Plastic surgery, drugs, exercise, and diet, or even dressing in a certain way in order to attract the eyes of the opposite sex, to the point where they become obsessed with how they look. Many women struggle with body dissatisfaction, low self-confidence, insecurity, body dysmorphia, eating disorders, depression, and anxiety because they can't keep up with the beauty standards that are unattainable. Unfortunately, these same unattainable standards that we see in the media and in magazines are not even real. Many of the women models that we see in culture are airbrushed, enhanced, photoshopped, and even AI generated for perfection. These techniques are used to alter an image to the standard of what the culture considers as beautiful. This can erase blemishes, wrinkles, moles, or freckles, change the body shape, face, hair, and eyes. It makes models appear to be slimmer, have better skin, a firmer bottom, and fuller breasts. Even social media posts by everyday people contain filters, edits, and perfect angles before they post pics for the whole world to see. Culture has given us these unrealistic standards that women have chased throughout the centuries and have actually defined for them and even for men what beauty and value look like. And if women fall short of that standard, then the message for such women is that you are not beautiful and you are not valuable. So how do women and men, as followers of Jesus, navigate what real beauty for a woman is, especially in a culture that defines beauty outwardly and in ways that are impossible to attain? You know, we're in our sermon series called Unsung Heroes. What happens when ordinary people remain faithful to an extraordinary God? And we've been looking at different people from the Bible as we learn about their lives and how we can emulate not only their faith, but also their character. And over these next 2 weeks, we are going to be looking at two different kinds of people. First is the Proverbs 31 woman, and next week is the authentic man. Both of these heroes give us a biblical and godly standard to strive for. Today, we're going to look at and learn from the Proverbs 31 woman. Now, if you are a man who is listening, don't check out, because there are many things about the Proverbs 31 woman that will shape the way you view women and even give you the tools to encourage and come alongside the women who are in your life. Now, we don't have a name for this Proverbs 31 woman, but scripture actually refers to her as being the most beautiful woman, not in the way culture defines beauty, but the way God defines beauty. She's known as the woman of noble character. King Lemuel is mentioned as the author of Proverbs 31. And growing up, King Lemuel's mother gave him advice as to the kind of woman that a mother would want for her son to marry. The name Lemuel means for God or devoted to God. Since many scholars believe that the book of Proverbs was written by King Solomon, it is also believed that Lemuel was a nickname for Solomon used by his mother. Proverbs 31 is a metaphor that describes an ideal, virtuous woman that emanates God's wisdom, purpose, and presence in the world. Solomon begins by saying that for this woman, she is virtuous. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Solomon uses the word noble to describe this ideal woman. In other translations, the word used is virtuous, meaning that she is a woman who demonstrates high moral standards. And Solomon is listening to his mother as she gives him a template as to the kind of woman who has character that he should be looking for if he is to get married. Now, a lot of times women think, well, if I'm not married or if I don't have any children of my own, can I even become this kind of woman? And the answer is yes. So even though the scripture talks about a wife of noble character, it is also referring to being a woman of noble character, regardless of your title or marital status. And Solomon is saying that because this woman, whether she is single or married, has character, has values and morals, she has excellent standards, she is virtuous and godly, who can find such a woman? Who can find such a person? She has value and is virtuous because she is surrendered to a virtuous God. She has a character that surpasses the test of time, and this woman is very rare. You can't purchase or buy this kind of woman. This woman, because of her character, is absolutely priceless. And if men use their money or resources to try to purchase a woman through things like pornography, strip clubs, and prostitution, those things all give men the facade that they are getting the perfect woman according to culture's standards of beauty. But in reality, it is all an illusion and it is all fake. But this virtuous woman that Solomon is talking about, all the money in the world couldn't pay for this kind of woman. All the gold in Fort Knox cannot compare to her value. Solomon is saying that this kind of woman is what all women should aspire to and allow God to help them to be like. Next, she is valuable. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. Not only is this woman virtuous, but she is trustworthy. When given responsibility, she carries it out, and because of her integrity, her husband has full confidence in her and her abilities, so he doesn't need to check in on her or look over her work. When this woman is in public among her friends and coworkers, they trust her and have full confidence in her. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. This woman looks out for the best interests of her husband and family. She loves and serves the way that she does because of her love for God. And because of her presence, her husband and her family are blessed and well off. Many men get married, but the longer they are married, their ambitions grow, and instead of allowing their wife to be a part of his dreams and goals, the man can look at the wife as a burden, as a competitor, or as a hindrance to his dreams and even for a better life. But here, this woman brings gain to her husband on every single level. She is not just his wife, but his teammate, his helper, his friend. She is so valuable in his eyes that he would not think of doing anything without her wisdom, support, and presence. She is reliable. She follows through with what she says she will do, which is why her husband includes her and trusts her. She has the kind of relationship with him where the husband harbors no suspicions or concerns when it comes to her, and she sees him in light, in the same light of transparency and trustworthiness. There is nothing to hide in this relationship, and he has full confidence because of her competence and her character. Whereas a foolish woman is one that cannot be trusted. She says one thing and does another. She's not consistent, is unreliable, and instead of being a blessing, she is more of a burden. Instead of having a teammate in her, she's just like an only child. This foolish woman undermines her husband. She embarrasses and disrespects him in public. She's frequently argumentative. She is never content with what she has, and she causes emotional harm to her husband and family because of her inconsistencies. Solomon continues, she uses her hands. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. Wool is the undercoat of the sheep that is taken and woven into fabric so that the clothing protects from the cold. Flax is a fibrous plant that is taken and is used in spinning, where the fibers are made into yarn in order to make linen for warmer temperatures. And we learn that this virtuous woman is not a lazy woman. She carefully selects the best quality for her family, and she does it by working with her hands. But this is the thing that stands out with her. She is eager to do so. She knows that everything she does has purpose, even the mundane work such as caring for her family. And we all know that many women do carry a great responsibility and work very hard. In fact, many times doing things behind the scenes that are never acknowledged by anyone. And even though at times things can feel never-ending or like a burden, this woman, because of her relationship with God, has perspective and chooses to still be joyful. She's not proud, but is a humble worker and does not think that working with her hands is beneath her. She's like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. Merchant ships were always busy carrying goods from port to port, and cities would actually rely on these ships for goods and merchandise. Here, the virtuous woman is compared to such ships, saying that this woman is as diligent and reliable as a merchant ship that comes at scheduled times. People can rely and count on her. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. This virtuous woman is not a lazy woman. She gets up early in order to be ready for her day, and she plans and takes care of the family schedule. Because of her presence, influence, and leadership, everyone else's life is better. In biblical times, it was very common for families to have servants or hired workers who helped the family. However, this virtuous woman manages and cares for such servants as if they were part of her family, showing compassion and even care, even beyond her immediate family. You know, I know a woman who was like this. She and her husband have 11 kids, and she took care of her family's schedule, and it was because of her that everything in the family ran so well. On a huge whiteboard in one of the rooms were the names of her husband and every single child, and she knew exactly what their schedules were, what breakfast, lunch, and dinner was going to be, where everyone was supposed to be at a given time. She trained each of those kids to mature and care for themselves and care for each other, as she also cared for the needs of her husband. She was the original Uber driver, driving a 15-passenger van, and this woman was not only smart and a great administrator, but she found joy in taking care of her family. She served God by caring for her family, and she even had the bandwidth to care for moms who were caring for their own families. She uses her brain. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. This virtuous woman is a businesswoman. She is wise and stewards well what she has. She doesn't just spend money or waste her money because she has money, but instead she invests what she has, knowing that in time she will profit, which will better her family and our future, and in this case, by planting a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. This woman is physically in shape, because in that culture, women did a lot of hard labor, and in doing so, it made her physically strong for whatever task and responsibilities she had. This woman was not idle or lazy, but was very hardworking. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. This woman is wise, and she is devoted to excellence. Because she does good work and the goods that she sells are reputable, she pleases her customers and increases her profits. She's successful in all that she does. She gets returns on her investments because she is wise and counts the cost of where her investments will take her. She even has the wisdom to prepare for the unknowns, and so she buys oil for her lamp so that it burns all throughout the night and it does not go out. And because of her planning, her family does not lack anything and always has warmth and light. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. The distaff is a stick or spindle onto which wool or flax is wound for spinning. And so this woman uses both of her hands in order to do the work that needs to be done. This was menial labor usually done by a servant, but this woman didn't see such a task as being beneath her. She instead does what she can with what she has and does it without complaint. She is compassionate. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. She doesn't just think about herself and her needs. Instead, she thinks about those who are less fortunate and then uses what she has to serve and bless others. See, this woman is not the kind of woman who only thinks about her own family and her own home while she ignores the hurt and the needs of others. Instead, she has empathy for her neighbors and even leverages what she has to be like God as she opens her hands to those in need around her and in her community. She's prepared for tough times. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. In the Northeast, people can be scared as soon as there is any word of snow in the forecast. People will line up at supermarkets buying everything and anything, like they will get snowed in and it's the end of the world. But this woman is not a last minute kind of woman, nor is she afraid when storms come. She doesn't panic and has the wisdom to have things stocked in reserve for all kinds of challenges. She is wise with her income that all of her household are clothed well in prestigious scarlet. She then takes care of herself. She makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen and purple. Because of her character and her reliability, God could entrust her with material blessings, knowing that she wouldn't keep such things just for herself, but would also share such things with others. And since she is a hard worker who uses her hands, she is wise using the highest quality materials available to her to provide comforts for her home while looking elegant. But it is the way that she dresses that only enhances the inner beauty that she emanates from her integrity and her character. She enhances his reputation. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. This virtuous woman who walks with God is such a blessing on her household that her husband is also esteemed and honored among the elders of the city. In fact, any man who finds this kind of woman as a wife is blessed. This is the kind of wife a man needs to help him to be the man that God has called him to be. He needs this kind of woman to make it, and she is his best testimony. This woman respects her husband. She doesn't tear him down, but encourages him and sees him the way that God sees him. And this interaction with him happens inside and outside of the home. She's one with her husband, and their connectedness and relationship is known by everyone in the city, and this is a plus for his reputation. Ultimately, she is a woman who is alongside her man for better and for worse. Her influence and love makes him great, and without her, he feels her absence. Next, she is wise. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. This virtuous woman not only provides the necessities for her family, but her craft makes such quality materials that she is wise to sell those necessities to the merchants who sell materials. She knows how to use her skills to make an honest living in order to provide for her family. She's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. See, we read in the previous verses that this virtuous woman distributes and sells material of scarlet to others. And she's not only the seller of her goods, but the user of her goods. I mean, this woman was trendy and she dressed to impress. However, Solomon is very clear that because this virtuous woman trusts in the Lord, her value and her first priority isn't in what she owns in her closet or what she physically wears for clothing, but that she is clothed with character. And because she wears such attributes that honors God wherever she goes, that supersedes and is way more beautiful than any clothes or designer wear that she wears. The Apostle Paul even talked about clothing, but it wasn't the name brands that are popular in our world today that people wear to define them. Instead, Paul says that above all else, followers of Jesus are to wear this instead. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. This woman is virtuous because she wears these attributes that love others because of her love for God. These attributes emanate strength and dignity, and it is not the clothes that people see that are important, but it is her character that actually stands out. Don't be fooled by women who wear seductive clothing or the latest name brands that look great and is beautiful on the outside, but then when you really get to know them, they make you want to throw up in your mouth. Because even nice, fancy clothing cannot cover selfishness and corrupt character. This woman, when it comes to having a godly character, she is the best dressed. And because of her character and trust in God, she has joy, not only today, but in all her days. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. When this woman opens her mouth, she speaks life into people. She's appropriate with her speech. She's not a complainer. She's not fussy or hard to work with. She's not sarcastic or mean when she doesn't get her way. She doesn't need to swear because she's able to articulate what she needs. And there is wisdom and kindness in what she says. She is an image of God in her actions, in her reactions, and in the way that she speaks. She knows the power of her words, and she chooses her words wisely, coming alongside those around her as she mentors and looks out for them. This woman also knows that there is much to do, and she is not lazy and makes the most of her time serving others. She's admired by her husband and children. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Her family looks at this woman and says, wow. They know that she is the glue that helps to keep the family together, and she's the one that helps the family to thrive. And a woman who lives this way rightfully deserves honor and the praises from her family. But this is also an invitation for husbands to emulate for their children in how he treats and speaks to their mother. Husbands, do you publicly honor your wife in front of your kids? Do you show her affection, speaking of how valuable she is, acknowledging what she has done to help you, encouraging her, speaking to her in a way that loves her and builds her up, realizing that she is God's gift to you? Do you frequently let her know how much you appreciate her? See, many children learn to speak to their moms and to other women based on how their dad speaks to and treats their mother. But here, the whole family honors and reveres her because she is a blessing. Solomon continues, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Solomon gives an exhortation to husbands and children to not just wait for Mother's Day in order to honor the women in their lives, but to speak of the blessedness of such women in their lives every single day. Husbands, tell your wife that there are many women out there, but the one you are with surpasses them all. When you praise your wife in private and in public, that is the water and the sunlight that encourages her and prevents her from ever wilting. Lastly, she is godly and her godliness makes her beautiful. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. See, it's important for everyone to understand that nowhere in this proverb does Solomon talk about physical beauty. Now, there is nothing wrong with being physically beautiful, But that doesn't last, and that is not what God defines as beautiful. Instead, God is very clear that when a woman fears the Lord and serves Him with her life, when she loves people well, when she is a woman of character, the ripples of beauty that are created with God far exceed and outlast any physical beauty. Also notice that the woman who is to be praised is not the woman who has it all together, nor is it the woman who has a perfect, spotless house, has all the laundry done and is neatly folded all the time, and has the kids in line marching to a whistle. In fact, the woman to be praised isn't necessarily even a woman who is married or has children. Rather, the woman who is to be praised is one who fears the Lord, meaning one who follows God with her life and honors Him by seeking Him in all that she does. It is the woman who trusts God wholeheartedly with her entire life and with all that has been entrusted to her. It is the woman who loves God, spends time with God, is surrendered to God, and is committed to God that has true beauty and is the one who should be praised. Now, having a great personality and charm is nice, but it can give a false representation of the person and can actually cover up character flaws in that person. And one who spends all their time seeking outward beauty will be disappointed when true flaws eventually show up and reveal true character. This is an invitation for all women to seek godly character, because that is what matters and that is what actually lasts. Because there is a connection between following God and the wisdom and spiritual beauty that actually comes from that. And single men, don't seek a woman who just looks good on the outside. Seek a wife and a teammate who fears God and demonstrates godly character, because her influence will determine what kind of man you become. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. So for all of us, when was the last time you honored the women in your life? Women who cared for you, pointed you to the ways of God, women who cried with you, were present with you, and hugged you when you needed it. Women who walked with you and spoke words of love and affirmation and even truth to you. And how can we honor the women in our lives today? Those women. How can we tell them, hey, thank you for being a light in my life. Thank you for helping me to be a better son or daughter or husband, wife, friend, father, mother, neighbor. Thank you for demonstrating for me what it means to follow Jesus and to love Him. Why wait for Mother's Day to do that? Solomon is giving charge to all of us to honor the women in our lives that demonstrate such qualities as this Proverbs 31 woman, thanking and praising them for what they have done and continue to do. You know, growing up, I didn't know God, nor did I ever hear of a Proverbs 31 woman, and I didn't even know what this woman was. But it wasn't until I was 18 years old, having to go back to Singapore to serve in the military, that I saw a godly woman that demonstrated the attributes of a Proverbs 31 woman. My Auntie Hazel was the living replica of this woman. I had stayed with her, my uncle, and their two kids, and I saw the impact and blessing that she had on her family. How she cared and looked out for my uncle, her two kids, and those that she knew. She was a wise businesswoman who ran a salon. Her employees were these teenage girls who had dropped out of school with no future. And so my auntie took them under her wing in order to teach them a trade so that they could make a living and have a future. My auntie was also very generous. She would always ask if I needed anything and many times just gave, even when I didn't ask for something. She handled the money for the business and the household, and I'd never seen a woman do that before. I remember my uncle would always talk so highly about his wife in front of all of us, and I believe that he is the godly man that he is and has the influence that he has because of her love and encouragement for him throughout the years. She was clothed in strength and dignity, and that made an impression on me. Being, but most importantly, my Auntie Hazel loved Jesus, and she followed him with every aspect of her life. And that godliness showed in her life and in her character at home and even outside the home. In fact, I remembered praying when I was in Singapore that if I ever got married, I wanted my wife to be just like my Auntie Hazel. And I'm pretty sure my wife, Kelsey, graduated summa cum laude from the Auntie Hazel Proverbs 31 school. As a man, I am blessed because of such women in my life. And I'm a better and godlier man because of their love, character, and influence. Now, I want to be clear on a few things. See, when people read Proverbs 31, if they're a man, well, they love this kind of woman because she is a Wonder Woman who loves God, has character, and is able to do so much. But also know, men, this is not a free pass where you just sit by and do nothing, and the woman in your life does everything for you. In fact, God has given men responsibilities and standards to strive for as well. And we will actually be looking at that next week. Now, for many women, when you read Proverbs 31, some look at it as an encouragement to strive to be this kind of woman. But for many, many women, reading this is actually discouraging and even frustrating. I mean, how can anyone be like this? Has God put even more standards on me to now be this perfect Stepford wife? I can never live up to that. But the reality is that the heart behind Proverbs 31 is one of celebration and not condemnation. Every woman is unique in the way God has created you to be. This proverb is not a checklist whereby a woman compares herself and says, oh, wow, I am not doing that and I am terrible. Or yes, I am doing that and so I am awesome. Remember, our value is not based on works, whereby we are trying to gain the approval of everyone around us based on our performance. Rather, always remember that you are saved by grace. You are already loved by God, and He is already pleased with you. And because of that reality, you can live out of that love, and you can live out of that value that God has already given to you as He empowers and transforms you to become this kind of woman in whatever season you find yourself in today. A woman is to run her own race, fixing her eyes on Jesus. And in that race, God will transform you to be that godly woman with His help. And you can never be that kind of woman with willpower or self-reliance, but only by His power and by His Spirit. This Proverbs 31 woman is an example of what godliness and impact looks like when women follow Jesus and are fully surrendered to Him. And know, ladies, that many of you are already doing this. You're wearing strength and dignity and demonstrating godliness in the things that you do. So keep doing that. As you celebrate what God has done and how you impact the people around you. But also know that there will be areas where God may be inviting you to die to include Him into, and to address so that you can look more like Jesus every single day. Plus, this is also meant to be something that is done in community together, because we need each other in order to become the godly women and the godly men that God intended for us to be. This cannot, I repeat, this cannot be done in isolation. So, women, how may God be inviting you to be a godly, virtuous woman of character who follows Jesus and who impacts those that God has placed in your life in this season? How may you put your time and energy towards striving for this godly standard of beauty instead of striving for the culture's standards of beauty? And men, how may you honor, celebrate, and encourage the women in your life towards godliness? Now, there is no name for this unsung hero described in Proverbs 31. And she's not just any woman. She's a godly woman, a born-again woman, a redeemed woman, a blessed woman, and a woman who blesses others. She strives to follow Jesus and serves others, and because she does, she is absolutely beautiful. That's the standard. And that is beauty that will always stand the test of time and shine brightly now and for all of eternity. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help the women here to fear you and to follow you, to not seek after charm and beauty according to the world's definition, but to seek you first, your kingdom and your righteousness. And if we have women in our lives, may we praise them, celebrate them, and spur them on to find their identity, their significance, their purpose, and their beauty only in you. You know, as we continue in prayer, maybe you're hearing all this and you realize that you don't have a relationship with God and that you want one. You want to experience his love and hope. You want to experience his mercy and forgiveness for your sins. And if that is what you want, then I want to invite you right now to ask Jesus to come into your life, to save you from your sins and to transform you to be the person that you were meant to be. If that is your desire today, then will you pray with me right now saying, Heavenly Father, forgive me for all of my sins. Save me and make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so I can follow you for the rest of my life. Help to transform me to be the person that you meant for me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you pray to ask Jesus to come into your life, then that means that you now have a relationship with the God of the universe and that you're part of his family. Please email us at info@communitycitychurch.org to let us know of your decision. And we would love to get to know you better, but even better still, give you some resources so that you can grow in that relationship with God. Now, friends, go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.